The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio. An open line today through to 1. Haven't been with you since last Thursday, so I must say thanks to Jackie and Martin and Valerie and Pam and Rosie and Barbara and Jennifer and Den and Mark and Shirley and Renee and Peter and Colin and Keith. Our guests at Woody's Club last Thursday at the Woodburn Pub in Douglas. Hope to be back there soon. Thanks to Trevor Latus for the landlord at the Woodburn for sorting that out for us. A very, very interesting programme. And if you've got any reflections on it, by all means, do get in touch. Call 66 13 68. We're talking about the 20-mile-per-hour speed limits in Keys this morning. Got a little heated. Also, plans for that proposed new sheltered housing in Garth, in Laxey, moving on apace. Plans are for that. All sorts of things are happening in Garth. And with hundreds of Max residents relying on My Cards, a local savings and loan provider says it's been approached as a potential alternative. Well, we'll see. Anything else on your mind? By all means, do get in touch. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And let's get to the lines. I think Wilf's first with us today. Hi, Wilf.
Hi, Andy. That meeting I was telling you about ages ago about the Harbourside,
I think
is going on today. I'm not sure because I can't get any sense of the town hall. You know, you ring them up and you get robots, and I can't sort that out. I can't seem to get anybody, but my partner did ring, and they said that that it was the 24th to the 28th. And somebody on the other side on the town hall said they arrived yesterday, but they don't know where they are. They might be upstairs, but we don't know. That's our efficient town hall. But anyway, so I urge everybody to go and have a look anyway. It could be upstairs, the exhibition.
Right.
And then put their views in and all the rest of it. Now then, a little bit of good news. I think it's good news anyway. The town Ramsey commissioners, including me, were all dead against the wind turbines. We don't want them, right? Simple as that. Just don't want them. Because we've talked to a lot of people in the town, and I think there was 160 or something, that said, yes, it'd be a good thing. The rest said, no, we don't want them. But better than that, I think, I hope, my partner, I haven't got internet or Facebook or anything, but she picked a bit up on Facebook today, this morning, that the, hang on, what do they call it? I can't think of the name of that.
Is this about the objection to it?
Yeah, and it's England.
It's the Ministry of Defence, Wilf.
That's the one.
Yeah.
They said no.
Well, they're objecting to it. All these proposals have gone in and all the people having their say, but apparently they've raised objections because they say it's going to affect air traffic control and radar at the British Aerospace site at Warton in Lancashire. So these huge 1,000-foot turbines and what have you will affect them. That's what they say at the moment anyway.
Yes. Well, I mean, they're powerful people. And I think hopefully that will put an end to it. I think that would kill it dead.
Well, we'll see. Wilf, surely they would have thought of that already. Surely the people putting 1,000-foot turbines would have thought, British Aerospace, I mean, that site at Warton, they built the TSR-2 there in the 60s. It's been there forever.
Well,
it was an American base in World War II.
Yeah, right. Well, they hadn't thought of that. And a lot of young people that was... when I went to the exhibition in Ramsey here earlier on, a lot of young people, there wasn't anybody very old, so they wouldn't know about them sort of things unless they looked them up. And, well, obviously they didn't. And I think that the Air Ministry and naval stuff in England is something to do with Ramsey Bay. It was always an anchorage for naval vessels, and that might be something to do with it as well. Just throw that in the mix.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. Okay, well, thanks for calling today. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Good to hear from you. Okay, well, two things there. The DOI is holding drop-in sessions for people to look at the plans and to provide feedback for the new flood defences for Ramsey. It's taking place at the Town Hall, usual opening hours. So the drop-in sessions are at Ramsey Town Hall until this Friday during the normal opening. I don't know whether it's downstairs or upstairs. If you've been, please tell. There's also an additional late session on Thursday from 4 till 7. So today, tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, daytime opening hours, Thursday 4 till 7. Ewan McGuinness is a commissioner. Of course, Ewan was on a few weeks ago. He says, you must make your voice heard about the DOI's plans for flood defences in Ramsey. He said the town's under threat of tidal flooding and believes the defences need to be in place to protect homes and businesses on the quayside. Ewan McGuinness.
Ramsey is one of the most at-risk areas for tidal floods. So obviously ensuring that our quayside and the properties around there are properly protected is important. I would caveat that it's got to be the right flood protection for the town.
What do you hope that people and the DOI and yourselves at the commissioners get out of the drop-in sessions, which I think are starting next week?
Yes. So the DOI are going to be in the town hall from Monday, and they're here all week during the day, and they will be here on Thursday until 7 p.m. I think it's massively important that people of Ramsey see the proposed plans that the DOI wish. It's going to go through planning, so everyone will have their right to have their say. But this next week is all about information so that people have a full awareness of exactly what the proposals will look like and what the impact will be on the town.
How much of a problem is flooding in Ramsey at the moment? Obviously, there haven't been many recently, but I imagine it used to be a problem. So what kinds of things do you experience as a town?
I think what we have is the threat of flooding, because whilst currently it's only a couple of centimetres a year, they get a bit of a corner wet. But obviously what happened 15, 20 years ago when Parliament Street ended up flooded, there's massive property damage, you know, impacts on insurance. So it's not a case of every year we have issues, but when it does flood, they are big issues.
Oh, there you are. That's Ewan McGuinness, Ramsey Town Commissioner. You heard Wilf talking about it, another Ramsey Town Commissioner. So if you're in Ramsey and it interests you, remember last time the DOI threw their proposals into the mix, but the Commissioner said no, because there was going to be a big wall there and there was a lot of car parking going to be lost. I think there is a loss of car parking this time. I'm not entirely sure how much, but if you get a chance to have a look, then by all means do it, Ramsey Town Hall. That's the DOI's proposals for new flood defences. Yes, the consultation on the Moor Vanin Offshore Wind Farm Limited's application for marine infrastructure consent is available. If you go to consult.gov.im, which is the government's consultation platform, you'll find there, you'll just punch in consultation on Moor Vanin Offshore Wind Farm, and all the responses, 477 responses are there. Some for, some against. You can spend an absolute while away your lunch hour having a look through that. And one of them is the UK Ministry of Defence, which has seemingly raised objections to the planned wind farm. They say that these turbines, these huge 1,000-foot turbines, would cause unacceptable and unmanageable interference to radar. possibly desensitising it and creating false aircraft returns, which would be a risk. But now, Warton Aerodrome is no longer military. Warton Aerodrome is owned by British Aerospace. It's where they do basically make parts for aircraft. And I think they may do some aircraft. I mean, the Lightning was built there in the past. The Eurofighter, Nimrod, I think, was there for a while. But I mean, British Aerospace Warton is a very, very big employer in the northwest of England, BAE Systems. But anyway, we'll see what they have to say. It'll be interesting. Maybe we'll get hold of the Ministry of Defence. We have connections, and see what they say. Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Welcome back.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, speaking of the Ministry of Defence and wind turbines, this is not the only problem. Thursday, 13th of November, this month, in the House of Lords, David Mundell, MP for Dumfriesshire, Clydesdale and Tweedale, proposed Amendment 28, stopping wind farm developers from trying to nose their way into the Esdale-Muir seismic array. And that's the array that detects ultra-low frequency signals, listening for the signature vibrations of nuclear explosions around the world, which is part of the UK's international obligations under the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. So they're worried about low-frequency noise coming off these wind turbines, which is obviously another thing that we're worried about here, with Cairvy being so close to everybody, and also the Morvanin one.
Am I right in saying that the Cairvy ones, these 1,000-foot huge things, are they the biggest in the world? And is it the most of them that's going to be anywhere in the world? We're going to be world-leading if we have them.
Well, this is actually why I'm ringing in, because the consultation for Morvanin, if you look carefully, Ørsted have done a scoping report, and on table 3.6, it gives what they call the design envelope parameters. Now, these turbines are going to be massively larger than the biggest ones that are available now, which is something like the General Electric Haliade X, which are the ones that are 40 to 60 miles offshore off Dogger Bank, off the east of England. Whereas these ones, well, I mean, if you imagine the ones off Dogger Bank, the huge ones, are 859 feet tall. These are going to be 1,200 feet, so they're going to be pretty much level with the top of the mountain road. But it's interesting, when you look at Ørsted's scoping report, they're talking about there's going to be, you know, the piles, the steel massive rods that they put in.
Yeah.
Well, for these new ones, they're going to be absolutely enormous, because, of course, you know, the bigger the turbine, the more it's going to be blowing around in the wind and the waves and stretching. So you're going to have deeper and bigger piles. So they're talking about the monopile will be 60 feet in diameter. It will be 100 meters long. And the energy required to bang one of those down through the seabed will be the equivalent of 15 tons of TNT explosive, if you see what I'm, the actual kinetic energy.
Mm.
So what's interesting is, when you go and look at that consultation and you look at what people are commenting on, a particular response, you can look at the numbers. This response number is 824-623-753. These people obviously seem to know what they're talking about. They're saying that the pile driving momentarily and substantially increases the pressure of fluids trapped within the surrounding rock. And this is under the pile and to the side of it. And when this pressure bleeds off, it creates new conduits for fluids to flow, and it will open up all these cracks, right. Thousands of naturally. So you're talking about fracking here, effectively. Now, the turbines are being built close to the Lagman Fault, which is also where one of the reasons why the gas is there. You know, this is one of the natural faults that. So they're saying here that with the scale of these things, even the current ones, the detectable earthquake effect of this is 20 kilometers away, and any gas pockets that manage to find their way through the cracks will escape through to the seabed and then up into the atmosphere.
You would have thought that Ørsted know all this, though, Julian, wouldn't you? They've been doing this for years. Surely they know this.
Well, actually, it says about halfway down on this consultation comment, Ørsted's report shows no understanding of the published bedrock geology in the Lagman Fault off Mackled. So it sounds like they're just going gung-ho and not really taking kind of account of the possible problems when you're whacking down 100 meter long, 60-foot diameter piles into the seabed.
On the other side, the thing is that, Julian, on the other side of this, of course, there are people who say this is an industrial revolution. You can't make an omelette without breaking an egg. They will be enormous. There may even be a tourist attraction. People may come from all over the world to see a lot of 1,000, 1,200-foot turbines spinning around. So we don't quite know what's going to happen, do we?
Except that Ørsted share price, despite selling off £6 billion worth of Hornsea 3 wind farm to another developer, their share price hasn't moved a jot. It's still terrible. So you've always got, you know, when you look at what investors are doing with companies, they obviously have no confidence in Ørsted.
It is fairly well underwritten by the Danish government, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's only a few million people in Denmark. I mean, how much can they take? I mean, you know, this Ørsted's been absorbing massive amounts of money. And, of course, this started, the problems that they started with their share price started in 2021 with an administration in the US that was very pro-wind. So it's not to do with that. It's something else. And I think the problem you've got is people are realizing that the longevity of these turbines is nothing like the sales pitch was. The amount of energy that's generated, even now, Ørsted have lost several billion because the wind hasn't been what they projected it to be. Even just what turns the blades hasn't turned out to be what they predicted.
And I wonder, wonder how much this has cost the Manx taxpayer so far as well.
Well, yeah. And also, 27 of these 87 turbines are in unacceptable risks of earthquakes and potential for natural gas escaping. Right. And this person reckons that if that gas escapes, the flow will be four times what the Isle of Man uses every day for heating and electricity generation. So it'll be massive.
This report again? What's it called?
This is a response within the Morvanin consultation on the Isle of Man.
Right. Okay. Do you know which one it is of the 477? Yeah. Which one is it?
It's response number 824-623-753.
Okay.
So the person that's written is obviously something to do with geology or whatever. But I mean, it's something to think about if you end up with like clouds of gas, and they also reckon there'll be a sheen that will go over the seabed that will be something in the region of 40 square kilometres.
Right. How many of these 477 have you read, Julian?
A few of them, but this one really caught my eye because you are talking about huge explosive percussive hammering of these massive piles, and these turbines, I mean, if you're going from 850 foot up to 1200, they're going to need massive foundations to hold them in place.
Okay, all right.
That's just logical.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thank you, Julian. And Steve's on there. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, good.
Good. Feeling better?
Better than I was, put it that way.
That's good. Just a quick, I'd like to give a bouquet first, Andy. Douglas Corporation, City Council. I had the pleasure of coming down from QEG the other day, around about 6 o'clock at night, 6:30, and then come round the corner when you turn off to go along the South Quay, and the whole of the quayside there looks absolutely fantastic. The Christmas lights, the Christmas tree, it really, if you were a visitor, you'd think, wow, this is beautiful. And then, however, I'd then like to take back a number of bouquets, I think, from the corporation. You come onto the promenade, Loch Prom, and it's absolutely awful. You've got the Claremont, which has got decorations out there, and then apart from that, you've got the Christmas tree outside the Sefton, and Matcham's and the cafe there have got some underlying sort of Christmas lights, and the rest of the promenade is black. It looks absolutely awful.
I'm trying to remember. Do you remember once upon a time we had Christmas lights that used to go across the prom, didn't they, from side to side?
Correct. Exactly. And the only other place for the balustrade lighting is up the drives, up Palace Drive,
yeah.
which I had the pleasure of walking down the same night, nice and bright. But you look on the promenade, Andy, it looks like a bomb site. It looks deserted. Absolutely awful. Even them new lights they put in, don't throw any light at all. You know, it's all apartments down that end of the promenade now, the far end and what have you. It's just nothing. It's absolutely awful. It really is. It's dreadful.
Okay.
And yet South Quay, North Quay, looks absolutely fantastic.
Well, South Quay, of course, has got festoon lights, Steve, hasn't it?
Exactly. Why we can't have them, I know there was a big argument a couple of years ago about them and everything else, but we've still got festoon lights on South Quay. We've got them up the drives. We've got them up Palace Road.
Douglas Head.
Palace Drive, sir.
Douglas Head.
You know, I just think it looks really, really good, and especially this time of year. You know, it's people coming on the boats must look and go, what are we coming to?
Okay.
What are we really coming to?
All right. Yeah. Okay, Steve, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Cheers. Thank you.
27 minutes past 12. Ivy dropped a note in and just said, yes, on the same subject, actually, she said, Douglas Promenade. You mentioned it was Douglas in Gloom. Not Douglas in Bloom, Douglas in Gloom. Really, what's the idea? Is the idea to make it look as unattractive as possible? And Ivy said, and what's the idea of trying to make people sit on ironing boards? Ivy, they're not ironing boards. They're new seats. They may look like ironing boards, but they're actually seats. Maybe they've been designed just not to be comfortable, so you can't sit on them for a long time. The ironing boards on the prom, that's a new one with me. Thank you, Ivy. And Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Oh, Andy. Welcome back, fella.
Thank you.
The ironing boards. I remember, as I say, I worked in the gardens when I was in a nipper a long time ago on the promenade, and the shelters used to have seats in, and the promenade had seats. But what they were finding were the, what we used to term as tramps, I know it's a derogatory, and they were sleeping in them.
Itinerants, so Howard.
Aye, that's them. But they were all gentlemen, and some of them were very well read. I remember a couple of them there used to spend, a large part of their day in the library. And they wouldn't be allowed in there if they were idiots. But anyway, that aside, that's what the council and the government, over a period of years, have changed. They took the seats out of the shelters. They've taken the sides off them so that they can't sleep in them. If you remember, they put iron steel bars on the seats under the Villa Arcade.
Yeah.
And that was to stop the same principle. And this is why they're putting seats where you can just sit down for 2 minutes. But like the bush shelters, you can't sit there for any length of time.
Yeah.
The bush shelter ones are on a slope, so if you did try to lie on them, you'd fall off.
Well, I mean, what they've done is basically, because of a few people on the extremities, i.e. the people who just want to sleep there or what have you, they've ruined it for everybody else, because you can't sit on a seat that's comfortable.
Exactly. Plus the mindset of the council as it was then. They've gone down that road, and unfortunately there doesn't seem to be a way back now. But that's not what I come on for. It's something that crossed my mind. It was something you were saying there before about the Irish Dane. Now, we have two conflicting thoughts here. The Irish Dane, if you remind me or your listeners can, the MUA had a company come in with the equipment to check the height of the trees as you drive along from the ferry bridge through.
Right.
To see if they could get the wind turbine vanes and the equipment along that way. I know it's a long way around, two Erie staying from there, but that's all main road. And they were checking the height of the trees to see that the vehicles and etc. could clear the way through. But when you just listen to it, and only in the last couple of weeks, the last month, they've been saying that road is collapsing up there at the Mount Murray Museum from the Brown Cow.
Good point.
Now, you're talking about two items where they've had MUA bringing people in to check the road and the trees, And you've got the DOI saying that road is in a dangerous state. Plus the fact that I don't know where they will be used, but Oatlands Farm out there for many, many years is a concrete plant, concrete mixing plant. And you're going to have heavy vehicles tramping up and down that road that is unsafe. It's going to wreck the railway bridge and the roadway itself. So who is going to win in this little challenge, the MUA or the DOI?
You see, I mean, it depends how, which way they, where they land these, the wind turbine blades. And they were going to bring them into Douglas and take them, because they did publish some sort of map as to how they're
That's
going
right.
to get them to up to Ballykillowey and the Slough and take them in that way. But, I mean, wherever they go, they're going to have to cut the trees down to get through, because you can't go through an arch of trees with these things sticking up. And surely they
no.
can't do them flat, because the roads, the curves are too sharp.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember when they come to build what we term now as the Princess Alexander Pier?
Yeah.
That's the one on the outside of the battery. They rebuilt the road through from the bottom of Gasworks Hill through to where they entered onto the land at the battery pier, particularly around the swing bridge area, because of the heavy vehicles that's going to be going up and down there, and the 25-ton Stabbards, about 4,000 of them, were going to be brought that way down, haven't been made out of kerosene. So are they, as I say, is the DOI going to win this battle, or the MUA, or they're going to have to find another way to get the Erie Stain with the heavy equipment?
I wonder. I mean, presumably they thought this through, Howard.
I doubt it. Because there's two trains of thought there. The MUA will be on their trajectory to what they want, and the DUI are there to try and stop it. But neither one is going to win. Again, it's going to be down to the taxpayers, because we've got less than a year now before half of them get turfed out and we get a new group of people in, but the same civil servants.
We'll see. All right. Howard, thanks for pointing that out.
Okay, take care.
Good to hear from you. 27 minutes before 27 minutes to one it is, and Chris is with us now. Hi, it's former MHK Chris Robinshaw. Hi, Chris.
Andy, good morning. Or good afternoon, shall I say. I just wanted to ring up, make a couple of comments, offer a couple of comments about the exchange this morning in the Keys between Jason Morehouse and the Treasury Minister, when Jason asked how things were going from the Treasury side with regard to their deliberations on the local economy forums meeting a couple of weeks ago, where there was huge concerns expressed about the minimum wage. I just want to correct something. First of all, the Minister of Treasury said that they had invited the forum to a meeting. I think that needs a correction, because we offered the invitation to the Treasury Minister actually at the meeting, which he attended at the Palace. He agreed to come. Nothing happened. We waited a fortnight, and then we wrote to the Treasury and to the Department for Enterprise, and it was us that invited them to join us in the meeting, which they've now accepted. So it was the other way around. The second really disappointing thing is that the Treasury, in answering Jason Morehouse, appeared pretty clearly to outright reject the ideas that the economy forum were proposing without even meeting us. So in overall review of this, the forum's position when we met was that we haven't had any engagements at all with the Treasury or with the Department for Enterprise, and now they've presented conclusions to the House of Keys without talking to us at all, and that's really, really disappointing. And I hope both the Minister for Enterprise and the Treasury Minister reflect on this, that surely they should be hearing our ideas and our proposals before issuing judgment about them when they don't know the detail. I think that's extraordinarily disappointing. And there were other inaccuracies in his answer, which I won't bore you with now. But in summary, the Local Economy Forum have put proposals forward which reduce the amount of tax that those on low pay will be subject to, with the result that the take-home pay that they would get would be greater than the proposals that Tim Wood has agreed to. So I just wanted to make those comments, Andy.
Okay, and you've got quite a unique view in that fact you were in business for many, many years, and you've also been in government. So I just want to ask you, Chris Robershaw, in your opinion, at what point should government intervene in the business world, in the economic life, the granular economic life of the Isle of Man? And at what point do you think should it exit? What I'm trying to say is, what place does the government have in this sort of initiative?
Well, a very important role, because what's happened in recent years is because thresholds for tax and NI have remained either static or only marginally increased, whilst the minimum rates of pay have gone up. It's resulted in those on lower minimum rates of pay and just above paying disproportionate amounts of tax to government. So the great winner in pushing up the minimum rate of pay in this particular set of incidents or situation we're in is that about 40% of the increase that the employee should get goes back to government, and yet they seem unwilling to put their thinking caps on with us and really try to work out a way how the lower paid will gain from this, because they are really now starting to suffer. And I'm sorry they haven't listened and engaged. They're just applying blunt rules to everything. They should have engaged. It was their duty to do so. I hope that they will think again when that meeting actually takes place.
What's next for the Local Economy Forum, Chris?
Well, the next is that we've asked for the meeting with the Minister for Enterprise, who incidentally has not engaged with us at all thus far, and the Treasury. And we've also said that it would be helpful if officers from both departments attended the meeting as well, so that it could be a well-informed meeting. And they would please have the courtesy to listen to what we're saying, because the government benefits in the sense that it would achieve the equivalency of the living wage, whereas this morning the Treasury Minister kept referring to the minimum wage. It means that the pressure on the small and medium-sized businesses would be reduced, and there would be significant advantage to the employee. In other words, everybody wins from our proposals, and yet the Treasury Minister this morning, in answering Jason Morehouse, just dismissed the concept out of hand. I think it's very poor, but let's hope things improve from here.
Okay, appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Andy. Bye-bye.
21 minutes to one.
Discover your dream home in Andreas with Kell Developments Limited. Their quality new build 2, 3 and 4 bedroom properties offer countryside living with amazing views just 5 minutes from Ramsey. These spacious homes are built for modern energy efficient living with ground floor underfloor heating and air source heat pumps, plus contemporary kitchens, beautiful bathrooms, landscaped exteriors and more. Reserve yours now. Kell Developments Limited, Oatlands Road and Andreas. Island living redefined.
Housing, benefits or employment issues, faulty goods, bad workmanship, financial problems and relationship breakdowns. We all run into difficulties in life, and it can feel like there's no one who can help you sort them out. But at Manx Citizens Advice Service, we can help. As an independent charity, we offer free, confidential support covering all sorts of areas. You don't need an appointment. Just call in at Promenade Church, Lock Promenade Douglas, or call 366-338. Open Tuesdays from 12:30 till 3 and Fridays 10 till 12:30. Manx Citizens Advice Service. Your advice service.
I have many railways. Ooh-hoo! All All aboard the magic tram at Laxey Station to Santa's Grotto at Zenith the Glen. Journey through a snowy landscape and step into a winter wonderland where Christmas comes truly alive. Ticket includes a visit to Santa's Grotto with children's gift, hot dogs for kids and soup for adults, plus hot drinks and more. Zenith the Glen is the perfect place to make magical festive memories. Available over selected weekends throughout December. Book at zeniththeglen.com.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week. Brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
19 minutes before one, we just went down to look at the harbour schemes as Mary and Ramsey. There was nobody there to speak to, just bored showing an artist's impression of a big concrete wall separating the harbour from the carriageway and a loss of car parking. There was nowhere to put our views forward or to object, says Mary in Ramsey. Stuart says, Andy, I want to highlight how difficult things are at Nobles Hospital. A&E is very busy with people waiting for hours to be seen. There don't seem to be any available beds on the wards. Patients and staff are under huge pressure and the community needs to be aware of how serious this has become. Surely the government must realise this before thinking of bringing more people to the Isle of Man. We've not had an update as to what the situation, but of course it's always worse this time of year because you get winter cold and flu and what have you. As I know. When you're on the ferry, says Tam, how many people don't look at the wind turbines and take photos as you pass them for an hour or more? I know I do, but then again, there's not much else to do. Yeah, that's true. You do look at the gas turbines, the gas rigs and what have you. Fish prices have gone up twice to what they were, which affects all fish shops and businesses. And of course, all of us. It's all down to our fishing grounds having been taken by wind turbines, harming our fish. We don't want the wind turbines. It's a big con, says, well, that's Will's opinion, by the way, on this. And one note that came in from Norman, who just said, let's face it, if we do get all these big wind turbines, it'll stop those Russian spy ships, won't it? And the Russian drone submarines going around, because they're just banging into the wind turbines. Well, it's an ill wind, isn't it, that blows nobody any good. Here's Dewan now. Hello, Dewan.
How are you, Andy?
Better than I was, thank you.
Good, good, good. You see, when you're not in, everyone's worried about you. It's like having an old relative or an old uncle. Everyone goes, where's Andy? What's wrong with him? How is he?
Less of the old.
we're going to have to call you Uncle Andy. just listening to Chris Roberts' show there before, and you know, I hear people say about Chris, oh, he's bitter and he's got a grudge against government and stuff. But I had quite an extensive talk with Chris about a year ago, and I think Chris is genuinely worried about, concerned about things happening, or rather not happening, on the island. So I think he has some genuine points and genuine concerns, and I think it's good that he has a platform now. Like many other people, have got separate platforms. They weren't heard before, but now with the internet, they've got separate platforms where they can be heard. So I think his platform with Paul Moulton is quite useful. I think Chris should be listened to on a lot of stuff, for sure. Just talking about the wind turbines again, I was talking to a chap recently, actually, in Africa, who actually sits on consultancy boards in Namibia, talking about their energy. And without going into it too deep, we were talking about the benefits of white hydrogen and green hydrogen and how they were heading in Namibia. And his comment really was, a lot of questions won't be asked about green hydrogen on these safety aspects and everything, because it's wanted. The big money wants to put it there. So certain questions will be avoided to get something in place. And I've got to refer that back to Ørsted and what they're doing here. And again, certain questions will be avoided and not put in place because money talks. Follow the money trail, as I've said on many occasions. And it, when we're talking there on what Julian said about the pile driving and the extent that they have to go down and the threat that it could be to the gas and fracturing, I have to come back to the comment that Chris Thomas made some time ago on various shows on here about protecting our gas field and if we were going to use it, that it be used properly and not be wasted. So again, I have to come back to that fact of, has this been studied or has it been passed over? I know when we spoke with Orsted at quite some length, I think both me and Julian were there at the same time. They were very, very dancing, very evasive at certain questions, and we couldn't get a direct answer out of them. And one of them was about the gas field and would it be or could it be used in conjunction with what they wanted. And they danced around that answer. So I think, generally the politicians should look for a second form of advice on this stuff and not take what Orsted are telling them as gospel, because they just want business, they want money. They don't care about the island per se or the people on the island. All they're driven by is money. So I think they should really take a step back and look very, very carefully at the decisions that they're making and who is giving them that advice.
Well, they probably would say they do care about the Isle of Man, Ewan.
Of course they will. Of course they will, Andy. Of course they will. Because money talks. I mean, we're talking about capitalist venture. And you know, like I've just said there, and this is happening in another part of the world, people who are involved in this stuff, who actually will say that, tell the truth, and this was after a couple of years, they it loosens people's tongues, but these people that are involved with this stuff will tell you these questions are being avoided. And that's the simple thing from people who are actually involved in it. You know, the truth is questions will be avoided to get in place something which is going to make someone a lot of money, especially a company which is nosediving off the end of the cliff at the moment. I think we have to be very careful about where we're heading and where what we're protecting. And again, going back to looking after the people of the island and not just raking in the money. And the fact that people are going to come to look at these as a tourist aspect, I think is farcical and a bit stupid, to be honest with you, Andy. We have far better things on the island that we can promote for tourism than a load of wind turbines that's is going to damage our fishing, as Will has just said.
So you don't think, Ewan, there's any chance that once they're there, you get used to them? A bit like the Laxey Wheel. That would never get planning permission these days. That's a tourist attraction now.
Yeah, would that be a bit like armed police walking around? We just get used to it. Not really the answer, though, is it, Andy? I mean, that's going to take our whole type of the way that we've lived and the way that we have on the island and the culture that brings a lot of people here. It's big, because they want to get away from the madness of everywhere else. So this, like, we'll just accept it. I don't go along with that. The fact that, you know, in 6 months' time or 12 months' time, every police officer might be armed over here. Oh, we'll just accept it. We shouldn't just accept these things. No, we should fight for what we have.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And the other little tiny point there as well, I asked the guy about geothermal and drilling, and he said, good question. Didn't go into it in depth, but good question. Don't know why they don't do it more.
Okay.
Cheers, Andy.
Thanks for calling today. Who's paying for these police officers to travel all over the UK looking for new recruits? And what person in their right mind is going to bring families here with no doctors, no dentists, and house prices completely unaffordable? Well, this is the story that the constabulary is hosting drop-in sessions in Liverpool, Birmingham, and London. Officers from the constabulary are travelling all over. Next Monday, they're in Liverpool, Tuesday in Birmingham, and Thursday the 4th, they're in London. They're looking, basically recruiting. They're telling people about policing opportunities in the Isle of Man, what is available, and what you can do on the Isle of Man.
Celebrate the season at Robinson's. From A&J Butcher's premium cuts for festive feasts to Ross Bakery's irresistible fresh bakes, we bring you the flavours that make Christmas shine. Explore succulent seafood, seasonal local produce, and even real Christmas trees to fill your home with holiday cheer. Don't miss our in-store flower and gift displays, perfect for stunning blooms and thoughtful presents. Robinson's is your trusted destination for quality, freshness, and festive joy. Let the celebrations begin at Robinson's Food Hall, Cool Road, and Robinson's on the Terrace.
take a stroll along the prom and call into the new look Cafe Villa and sample the new menu. There's something for everyone at Cafe Villa, from hearty breakfasts and pancakes to baked potatoes, a great choice of delicious mains and award-winning ice cream. All made using local produce where possible and supporting local producers. With seating inside and out and a stunning sea view, it's the perfect spot to relax. New look, new menu. That's Cafe Villa on Douglas Prom. Open 8am to 4pm every day.
Are your clothes not fitting the way they used to? Cool Sculpting's patented non-invasive cooling technology is designed to target and kill fat cells with no surgery or downtime. Tracy Bell can assess your needs and advise if it's right for you. If you'd like to find out more about this revolutionary non-invasive fat reduction treatment from Cool Sculpting, call us today on 613323 or visit tracybell.co.uk to book your free Cool Sculpting consultation.
Ellen Vanin Fuels make it so easy to keep topped up with home heating oil this winter with our smart tank monitoring system, easy payment plans, and being able to manage your account online. Call us on 844-000. Stay warm this winter with Ellen Vanin Fuels.
Save 20% at the Loganair Tartan sale with promo code Tartan20. Book now at loganair.co.uk. PCs and exclusions apply, subject to availability.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Breathe in for four counts. Flood your body with fresh oxygen.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
Take yourself to an environment where good things happen. This could be an early morning winter walk.
Pause and reflect. The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
I agree with Joni Farragher, says this correspondent. I agree with Joni. This is a text from Teresa. It's a WhatsApp from Teresa. Dilapidated buildings should be subject to a levy. I fail to understand the rejection of this proposal, which leads me to think there's a conflict of interest. Why on earth will this idea be rejected when we need the money and we need the availability of new homes? Joni Farragher, MHK, Douglas East, of course, says the government amendments have blunted her proposal to give local authorities greater power to act against long-term vacant and neglected properties. She says there's political reluctance. She'd propose giving local authorities new powers to fine landlords when homes are left empty or become dilapidated. Government amended her motion, saying it was already tackling damaged and ruinous properties via rates exemptions. But I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding. I got a message in from a guy who said he's got experience of this in Belgium, when you have a commercial property and it's left unused, i.e. it's vacant, you get charged rates, high rates, per month on the meterage of the property at the front. So let's just say it's, I don't know, 10 metres, 30 feet. You get charged almost confiscatory rates, and it goes up and up and up. So you either have to sell it or develop it or let it to do something. And that's the way you get it moving. They don't stand for it in Belgium, but it seems we obviously do here. The Royal Navy, says Bob, calls the Isle of Man the big roundabout in the Irish Sea, which is funny as people here don't seem to know how to use roundabouts. Steady. With submarines going round the Isle of Man all the time, it's no wonder the MOD doesn't want turbines off the coast. Well, this is the British aerospace that don't want it, because they say the big turbines could affect radar. But point taken. One concerning fact that's been discovered, says Alan, that some Chinese wind turbines contain asbestos. Is this true? Tell me, if you've got an official line on that, then please tell me. I'm just hoping we don't end up with any of these. I've just been in Peel on the harbour front, and there are about 100 people from Denmark flown over for a Christmas do for the day, says Scott. The only company linked with the Isle of Man stands out is Orsted. They're not from Orsted, are they? I'm not sure I want to spend my time looking at massive wind turbines in the Irish Sea, potentially affecting our fishing industry and views across the water, says Ian. Wise points made. I was looking through some of this 477 contributions that have been made to the Orsted Wind Farm application. You can find them at consult.gov.im, and one of them stands out. It just says, when you stand on Laxey Beach and look out to the sea, does anybody think, oh, the one thing that would improve this is 80,000-foot wind turbines? It's just a thought. Lots of people are for it, by the way, I have to tell you. Lots of people in those responses say, actually, this is the future, and this is what we need. I was in Douglas last night, says Sue. Thought the same as the gentleman earlier. Really lovely at one end. The key... part of the key has nothing. Is Douglas split in two? Douglas, the key looks fantastic, says Tony. The prom looks awful. No effort whatsoever. What's happened to the fountains at the end of Athol Street? Are they broken? Is this another one of the council's features left to go to ruin? Well, it didn't help. And people kept putting in washing up liquid, did they? It's such a shame that the lovely festoon lights were removed from the promenade. The whole design is bizarre, says 068. The lighting, the roundels, it's lost its character. Who designed it? Hey, that's it. Going to be back tomorrow. Remember, on Thursday, following up to the UK budget, the Treasury Minister is here on Thursday. WINT.